broadcasting from the UNMC College of Nursing. Get ready for RN Huddle, the podcast dedicated to bringing hot topics for and by nurses to the table.
Welcome to RN Huddle, coming to you live from the College of Nursing at UNMC here in Omaha, Nebraska. Today, your producer Courtney is stepping in to introduce this episode. Today's episode's a little bit different. We are giving you a little tease into an upcoming conference. The 16th Biennial Breastfeeding Conference, Baby's Natural Choice, presented by the Olson Center for Women's Health. To get the episode started, we welcome Lana Mulchick, who is the Olson Women's Health Resource Center Manager. Thank you so much for listening to RN Huddle today. We hope you enjoyed today's episode.
Well, thank you for being with us today. It's an exciting time for the Olson Center for Women's Health because this is the year that we have our Breastfeeding Babies Natural Choice Conference. We've offered it since 1995, and we hold the conference every other year. And so this year's conference will be August 27th at the Scott Conference Center. And we'll have two speakers today discuss a little bit about the conference and some of the education that we'll be providing. We have Dr. Laura Wilreding with us today, and we also have Dr. Lindsay Lieben with us, and they'll tell a little bit more about their background and what they do professionally. But then we'll discuss a little bit about the conference topics, and I'll just let you guys take it away.
Thanks so much, Lana. I'm Dr. Laura Wilreding. I am a pediatrician and breastfeeding medicine physician, and I am really happy to be able to do this today and also be able to present at the conference. I have been on the planning committee, I believe, since 1998. So yes, that makes me old, but I have the pleasure of talking with Dr. Lindsay Lieben, who is at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. I'm correct in that, correct?
You are correct, yes.
Yes, and she is in the Women's Behavioral Health and Wellness Services as an assistant professor in the Department of Psychiatry. And specializes in many postpartum mood disorders and medications, et cetera. So I'm really excited to talk to you today. Welcome, Dr. Lieben.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, I'm hoping that you will be able to really enjoy the lovely city of Omaha while you're here, and we're looking forward to hosting you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we know that one of the biggest topics that have come up over the years has been about DEMER. And a lot of people say, well, what the heck is DEMER? In fact, I would like, if you can, just first of all, explain what do those letters mean? Am I saying it correctly? And what is DEMER? And how do you distinguish it from other postpartum depression, anxiety, or other things like that?
Absolutely, yes. So DEMER stands for dysphoric milk ejection reflex. And so the letters DEMER basically stand for the first letter of that mouthful. So dysphoric milk ejection reflex. I'll use the term DEMER just because it's a lot easier. But basically what DEMER is essentially a physiological condition that leads to a person who is breastfeeding, experiencing a wave of negative emotion, either just before milk letdown, before that milk ejection reflex, or right around the time that it starts. And those negative emotions can take a few different flavors. Sometimes it's some sadness, feeling very down, very suddenly, acutely. Sometimes it's feeling more a sense of agitation or irritability. And other times it might be more of a sense of anxiety. But one of the things that makes it unique, especially in comparison to other postpartum mental health conditions, is that the symptoms of DEMER are quite brief in nature. They are usually lasting maybe seconds to a few minutes, and they really only occur at the time of milk letdown. So that's, different from postpartum depression, where the symptoms are much more persistent, much more pervasive. They occur during feedings, they occur when someone is not feeding. So kind of that time linkage to the milk ejection reflex is really kind of the key characteristic of DEMER.
It seems to me, I've heard of cases, and I've had my own in my own practice, of people with really severe symptoms, even though they're intermittent. And these moms are really, a lot of times, very guilty about feeling that way. So what's the best way that we can support the moms in, kind of dealing with this? Is there some way to make it better?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're totally right. This can be a very confusing experience for individuals who are breastfeeding to go through. They're feeling totally fine one minute, and then all of a sudden there's this this wave of dread, of sadness, and it really comes out of the blue. Many people don't know that what they're experiencing is in fact DMER, and it may lead them to think about, gosh, does this mean that I don't like breastfeeding my baby? What does this mean about my feelings toward my infant? Am I depressed? I think it can lead to all of these other questions that can lead to a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. So I really think one of the key things to do to support people who are experiencing DMER is to normalize this experience and give it a name for them. Many people have not heard of DMER at all. So just naming it and letting people know what this is can be incredibly validating. It can really reduce a sense of isolation and shame that can happen when people are experiencing DMER.
That's really awesome. I mean, I think one of the issues is that there's so little understanding of it in the professional community, especially among pediatricians, OBGYNs, and things like that, which is why I'm really excited for you to be able to come and talk about this topic for all of us. When we're talking about this and other postpartum type conditions, I mean, how do you decide if the risk of a psychiatric medication is worth the benefit of it, or is this something that you use medications for? I mean, what type of support do these moms need once we get them to the appropriate place and give this a name so that they feel validated?
Yeah, that's really a great question. And honestly, I think the best practices for addressing DMER are really still being figured out as we speak. We need more literature on the topic. What we do know is that there are certain factors that can make the symptoms of DMER worse. So sleep deprivation is actually one of the things that has come up in the limited studies that we do have on DMER. So thinking about, are there ways to support someone's sleep either overnight or during the daytime so that they're feeling sufficiently rested? That can really help. Secondarily, DMER and a postpartum mental health condition can coexist. They don't always coexist, but they certainly can. So I think that there needs to be some screening for an underlying mental health condition, because if that is addressed, sometimes it can help the symptoms of DMER to be less intense as well. In terms of your question about, do we use medication for this? There are case reports of certain medications being used for DMER with some success. However, we don't have systematic studies confirming the utility of these medications. So probably the most common one that people might hear about is a medication called bupropion, which is an antidepressant medication that modulates dopamine. Dopamine is thought to be involved in the pathogenesis of DMER. There's a transient drop in dopamine that facilitates prolactin release that leads to the milk ejection reflex. And it's thought that perhaps some people are very sensitive to that. And so a medication like bupropion, which boosts dopamine and helps it to stay more steady state, could perhaps be helpful. However, I mean, it's truly like one or two case reports that are really describing the effects of bupropion. So, from my perspective, and I think from a lot of other experts who are familiar with DMER and have done research in it, usually non-pharmacologic strategies are kind of considered, first line, especially for individuals with more mild symptoms that are perhaps not as distressing. Sometimes the symptoms of DMER can be very distressing. It can lead people to have suicidal thoughts, things like that. And for someone with that severity of DMER, it might be helpful to consider a medication like bupropion. So, I think that there's lots of different tools in the toolkit, and it's just a matter of finding out, what's going to make the most sense for this person, their mental health, and their breastfeeding goals overall.
It's really difficult, I think, to do studies, obviously, when we're talking about both pregnant women and breastfeeding women, because we always have to worry about, what's the risk benefit, and we have to rely so heavily on more the information we know about the drugs themselves and how they pass into milk and things like that. So how do we really weigh those risks against the benefits of potential medications when we don't really have those studies.
Absolutely. I think it's really important to look at the bigger picture here, which is the idea that untreated maternal mental health conditions themselves carry significant risks, not only for the, you know, the breastfeeding individual, but also for the infant, you know, the family unit at large. And these risks have kind of been well established in a lot of long-term studies. So some of these risks can include difficulty bonding with baby, you know, feeling a sense of attachment. It could lead to long-term neurodevelopmental effects for the child if mom is dealing with an untreated mental health condition in the postpartum. And notably, an untreated mental health condition in the postpartum also increases risk of maternal suicide, which is really one of the leading causes of maternal mortality in the US. So I think it's important to recognize that, you know, the risk of medication exposure, breast milk is something important to consider. That's something we should take seriously. And we also want to make sure that the mom, the breastfeeding person, is well as well, that their mental health is being treated. So that's something that we do a lot in perinatal psychiatry, is that we are thinking about that risk-risk analysis. What is the risk of someone's untreated mental health condition versus what is the risk of medication exposure more broadly? The good news is that for most psychiatric medications, the exposure through breast milk is quite low and is considered compatible with breastfeeding. Usually infant blood levels are quite low, especially for most of our very commonly used antidepressants, our SSRI medications, things like that. So I think, you know, just stepping back, the big picture here is that, you know, this is this risk-risk analysis, and exactly what is recommended is going to depend on the severity of the person's mental health condition, you know, the medication regimen in question. But again, the good news is that most psychiatric medications are compatible with breastfeeding.
Well, it seems to me there are also an awful lot of misconceptions about all sorts of maternal mental health issues. I mean, specifically DEMER for sure. But I see oftentimes that that leads to either early weaning, because people are told they absolutely cannot breastfeed with those medications, or also just not even initiating breastfeeding at all because they're told that it's not compatible and that they need to continue. And to me, the irony of that is often they've been on these medications throughout pregnancy. And I'm like, well, it went through the placenta, so I'm thinking it's probably okay through the breast milk. But what kind of ways can we deal with those misconceptions, and what other misconceptions are out there related to maternal mental health and psychiatric treatment?
Right. So I think in terms of how to address it, I think it's important to acknowledge those emotions that someone might be experiencing, to really kind of impart a sense that you really understand that they have uncertainty, that there might be fear, but then secondarily to provide them with evidence-based information, with good data, and to do it with empathy. And so there are some excellent resources that exist online that can be very helpful to point patients to for evidence-based information if they want to read more about the medication in question. So these would be resources like LactMed, Infant Risk, Mother-to-Baby Fact Sheets. Those are all resources that I turn to time and time again. But you're right. I think that there are a lot of misconceptions about taking medications and breastfeeding. And one of them is that, well, you know, gosh, I've been stable on this one antidepressant, but I've heard that this other antidepressant is actually the best medication for breastfeeding. The reality is that the best medication for breastfeeding is the one that keeps the person well. You know, it is not recommended to change medications if someone is doing well on one in pregnancy, just because another one has less transmission into breast milk. I think speaking to what you were mentioning before, you're totally right. The exposure to medication during pregnancy itself is actually much more extensive than the exposure through breast milk. So really, you know, the exposure through breast milk is considered pretty minimal for most, but not all psychiatric medications. And I'll speak about all of the different nuances and the different medication classes in more depth at the conference.
Yeah, this has been a really amazing conversation. Hopefully, it's just kind of a taste of all the other great information you're going to have for this, because I feel like these topics are so important and really don't get enough attention. There still is so much stigma around mental health. And I really hope that we can continue to work through that and understand that these are medical issues and not just in your head, if you will. But we are so delighted that you're going to be here with us and look forward to the information you're going to present. And it was such a pleasure to chat with you today.
Likewise, I am very excited to come to Omaha in August and speak more about these topics.
Thank you both so much. As you can tell, the level of education for this conference is meant for the healthcare provider. And actually, our target audience are physicians, specifically pediatrics, OBGYN, and family practice, nurses. They could be nurses in the clinic or in the hospital or maybe working at a local community office. We also provide credit for lactation consultants, nurse midwives, nurse practitioners, social workers, registered dietitians, and then anyone who would consider themselves a breastfeeding advocate. So the conference is designed to have providers help, learn skills in the science of breastfeeding to help mothers. And other lectures that we're going to be offering during the day are related to breastfeeding, of course, and barriers to breastfeeding, impact of psychiatric medications, obesity bias, food protein intolerance, and also how to build a private practice lactation consultant business. The cost for the conference is $125. If you are a full-time status student, we do offer a reduced rate of $50. It is again August 27th, 2025 at the Scott Conference Center in Exarban, and registration does close on August 20th. If you're interested in attending, we invite you to go to the conference website, which would be unmc.edu/CCE. You'll see the Breastfeeding Baby's Natural Choice Conference posted there. You can also register by phone, and that phone number is 402-559-5929. So thank you so much, Dr. Wilverding and Dr. Lieben, for giving us a little teaser about your talk. And people will find the conference of value and join us.
Thank you for listening to RN Huddle. To stay connected, follow us on Twitter and Facebook at UNMCCNE or check out unmc.edu/CNE for more program information.